May your grace, O Lord, we pray, at all times go before us and follow after, and make us always determined to carry out good works. From the collect, or opening prayer of the Mass. And then we heard in the first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, "Behold our God, to whom we looked to save us. This is the Lord for whom we looked. Let us rejoice and be glad that he has saved us." Thus we are exhorted to look for our Lord. At the same time, we implore our Lord that he will lead us and follow us. Thus, in the first place, our Lord comes to seek us. Even before we seek our Lord, he has come to seek us. If our Lord had not come to seek us, then we would not have the wherewithal to seek him out. But because he has chosen us, then we have the possibility of choosing him. Choosing him means, in the words of the collect, to be determined, always determined, to carry out good works. Thus, the choice of our Lord for us is not something that is restricted to a point in time. Neither, therefore, is our choice of the Lord. Our choice of the Lord is summed up in this determination to carry out good works, because this reveals the presence of our Lord in us. Indeed, when we go to seek our Lord, he who has already sought us out is in fact already present to our souls. And our seeking him out is none other than coming to realize that he already is in our hearts. Our seeking of the Lord, therefore, does not consist in traveling halfway around the world, or it could involve that. But above all, it's finding our Lord in our hearts. We might have to travel halfway around the world in order to realize that our Lord is already present in our hearts, but in fact, he's already present in our hearts. It's just that the vast majority of us seemingly have to take a trip halfway across the universe to figure this out, you see. But in fact, our Lord is very close already, because he's chosen us. And we know this because he came into this world and offered his life for us, all of us and individually, each one of us. So he's done his good work. See, he, while we were his enemies, laid down his life for us. The ultimate good work, the triumph over sin and death, the reopening of the gates of paradise for us. And when we look for our God to save us, to paraphrase what is said in the book of the prophet Isaiah, we will come to behold our God, but we have to be determined to carry out good works, you see. I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of living in abundance and of being in need. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. A picture of the model Christian, St. Paul. He came to realize that the Lord being present in him, he had everything he needed. Thus, whatever his circumstances were, whether he was in want or in plenty, he had everything he needed because he had the Lord. When we have the Lord, when we have sought out the Lord, when we have decided that we will be determined to carry out good works, which means we make concrete manifestations of responding to the love of our Lord, then we will learn the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, because as a matter of fact, we will be well-fed in our Lord. And when we are well fed in our Lord, what else do we need? This is what the example of certain saints who subsisted only on the Eucharist teach us, actually. Not that we should go and do the same, unless we have an extremely particular grace, which I presume that none of us here have. But some saints receive this particular grace in order to teach us something, in order to teach us what it is that we actually need, what it is that sustains us, upon what we need to subsist. And it is our Lord, in particular our Eucharistic Lord. What is that work that we must do? Jesus here is one that's asked him, and his answer was, believe in the one whom the Father has sent. In order to believe, we need to seek. And to seek sincerely, we need to be determined. Might not be determined in anything, but determined to carry out good works in imitation of the one who performed his good work in us. So God has wished to establish his presence among us, and in particular in our hearts. And as we were saying, our seeking God consists in our discerning his presence already in our hearts and in our lives. So he wants to build that house, that city in us. And our task is to permit him to do so. That determination to carry out good works is, in a very real sense, permitting God to carry out those good works in us. That's that determination. Determination to remain in the presence of God, who is already present to us. And when we permit God to build that house and that city in us, then we permit him not only to do this work in us, but all around. Because he wants not only to work in us, but through us. Establishing this house in this city in the hearts of all men. St. Maximilian wanted to establish cities of the Immaculate. Cities in which all hearts would be totally consecrated, totally dedicated to the Mother of God. And he wanted to do this because he knew, as we who are consecrated to Our Lady know, he knew that Our Lady was the shortest, surest, most beautiful way to Jesus. Or put another way, that Our Lady was the shortest, surest, most beautiful way of recognizing the presence of God in us and of responding most perfectly to God present in us, so that we may be present to God. So St. Maximilian would exhort us to let Our Lady build her city in us. That Niepokalanów in Poland, the city of the Immaculate, that Our Lady inspired St. Maximilian to build, that city in which lived hundreds of Franciscan friars, he told those friars that first of all, we must be that city. So before we construct a large city, first of all, we have to be that city. We have to be that place where the Immaculate has full reign, where she has established her presence, where we recognize her presence, and where we let her presence shine clearly, so that God will be seen clearly. So our challenge, walking in the footsteps of St. Maximilian, is precisely that. Let Our Lady establish her city in our hearts. We let Our Lady establish her city in our hearts when we are determined to let her carry out her good works in us. I can make an act of consecration to Our Lady, and that is a very important step, a very first step, but I need to live this consecration. I wish to dedicate myself in an unlimited way to the Virgin Mary, and only then can she build that city. What does it take to build a city? Well, it takes a lot of effort, doesn't it? How much does it take just to build a house? Those who are skilled know what sort of planning is involved, what materials are involved, manpower, so forth. To build something that will last takes a fair amount of expertise and effort, if it's anything worthwhile. It's not a work typically done in a day. If it were a work done in a day, it would be like a house of straw, right? Likewise, the work of God in our souls, this is not the work of a day either. The grace of God, though, could do the work of a day if that's what God wished. But ordinarily speaking, God's work, little by little, effects that work of sanctification in our souls. Little by little, if we renew, deepen our consecration to Our Lady, almost without us realizing what has happened, even though we're cooperating by carrying out good works, the city comes to be erected and becomes lasting. And so that city that St. Maximilian erected in Poland, motivated by the grace of God passing through the hands of Our Lady, could not be totally swept away by the Nazis in the 1940s. And I don't mean to refer simply to the material edifice, but I am talking about the spiritual edifice. When we allow the grace of God to fix our determination in Him, then no one can entirely smother out our good works, see? Because they're God's good works, not ours. He allows us, he imputes these to us, but it's through the merits of Jesus Christ. But they have value precisely because they are the merits of Jesus Christ, that He so graciously allows us to take ownership of. And yet they're His. When we let His grace go before us and follow us, we will receive that determination. That city will be built in us. And God will recognize us in turn, just as He recognized us in the beginning. In the Gospel, we have a somewhat peculiar passage from the Gospel of St. Matthew, something that's reported only in this Gospel. This man that shows up at a wedding banquet without a garment. What's this all about? We can somewhat understand this king who throws a banquet and becomes angry when the ones invited don't show up. That we can relate to. But what about this one who doesn't show up with a wedding garment? What about the very harsh punishment meted out to this one, with whom the king bound hands and feet and cast into the darkness outside? A very harsh punishment. Why didn't the king just tell him to, okay, go change and put on a proper wedding garment? That's not what he said, though, was it? See, our appraisal of things is not God's. Our appraisal of sin is not God's appraisal of sin. Our appraisal of offense against God is not His. Offense against God, who can possibly measure? Who can measure properly what it means to offend God? Who can properly understand punishment that is due for offense against God? How often do we minimize our offenses against God, serious offenses, I mean? Not to have a wedding garment in this sense is not to have the grace of God. How cheaply do we appraise the grace of God? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves. Is it something very cheap to us? Does it matter to us? Do we care? about obtaining the grace of God, about conserving this grace? What does it mean to us? And maybe that's why so many care so little about whether or not they're good or not, whether they perform any good works or not. They simply don't care. And what this gospel passage is telling us is that indifference is something to be chastised, punished very severely. What is to be said in this day and age in which indifference reigns supreme? What kind of punishment is due? Evidently, this attitude is not a prerequisite for staying in the presence of God, here or hereafter. And thus, an active solicitation, an active interest, an active seeking out is necessary in order to find God forever. And that was the urgency of the work of St. Maximian Kolbe in letting Our Lady establish her city in our hearts. That the grace of God will be there. And if we let her do so, then she herself will clothe us with the proper garment. She herself will be our ticket, as it were. She herself will see to it that we are seated and that the Lord waits on us. This is that mercy of God extended to us, but in a particular way to those whom Our Lady has chosen to follow her most closely. In this age of indifferentism, this is what God has given in order for people to find that determination to carry out good works, to seek the Lord, to find the one for whom they must look in Our Lady. Doing this in Our Lady is the recipe for rejoicing and being glad. Praise be Jesus and Mary.